Hey, everybody. Welcome to J&J on Jazz, sponsored by Jazzwire. And this is my friend James, and he just got back from a fire at the school that he teaches at.
That's true. Luckily, no one was hurt. And I'll tell you, this is my friend Jeff. I've seen him in the kitchen. That fire may have been his fault.
Conceivably. I don't cook at your school. That's a good thing.
Okay, good.
Well, hey, what we want to talk about today is what to do when we get bored with our playing. And I'm sure all of you out there have had that experience, whether, you know, soloing on a given tune. And, you know, I think that's the approach we're going to take. When you're soloing on a tune, a song you've been playing for decades, you played hundreds of times, or a B-flat blues or something like that, we've all been there. And I tell you what, pros probably have this feeling more than anybody because they've been playing these songs for longer. Don't you think, James?
I absolutely think so. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a big first lesson in here is that so many of us adult amateurs, you folks out there, kind of think that your problems are different than the problems of a pro or different than the problems of people that you buy recordings of. Your problems are no different. They had those problems and they probably are still, you know, working on the things you're working on. Make sense? I think so.
Yeah.
So James, tell me what, you know, so when you're stale, bored of how you're sounding on a given tune, do you have sort of a go-to move or something that you do in that setting?
So when I'm bored of my playing or when I'm stale, so basically all the time, right? yes. So this might not be very earth-shattering to most folks, but this has really worked for me for a long time. When I find myself starting to get stale and bored, well, first of all, the first thing I always say is it tells me I need to go transcribe something new, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. It means that I need to put more language and more information into my brain. Like I need to feed my soul a little bit more. So that's just a good practice to get into. If you feel like you're getting stale, go learn 8 bars of a new solo, right? But the other thing that I do that I find really helps me is I start playing tunes, practicing tunes, and even calling tunes on gigs in keys that I don't normally play them in, right? All have tunes that we love to play, and we all have sort of standard keys that those tunes live in, right?
Right.
So, like, I'll give you an example. A tune that I like to play a lot is Days of Wine and Roses. And most of the time, I play that tune in F. That's the tune. That's the key we usually play that tune in. So for me, I like to move that from being an F I'm going to move it to A flat. Minor thirds are a cool sort of interval for me, right? So
right.
Instead of being an F, you know, it might be It just gets me thinking about the same kinds of chord changes that we're always stringing together in these standard tunes, but it maybe makes me think of it in a little different way or hear it in a little different way. And the key to that in my practicing is to juxtapose choruses, right? So play a chorus in F and then play a chorus in A flat. Play a chorus in F, then go back and play a chorus in A flat.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do that, and I also like to record myself doing that because I can go back and listen and kind of, you know, hear myself a little bit like from a third party standpoint. And then the final piece of advice I have that I like to do is, let's say I transcribe my own chorus in A flat. Now let me learn that in F. It might be just slightly different than how I approach those same sorts of chord changes in the original key. So in a lot of ways, you're transcribing you're transcribing yourself when you do that approach. So I tend to find myself doing that every couple months, just taking a couple tunes and doing that. I don't know. What do you think of that, Jeff?
Man, I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, for me, if you show me an F major 7 chord and say, Jeff, play something, I'll play something. If you show me an A flat major 7 chord, I'm going to play totally different stuff. It fits on the instrument differently, right? I associate different bits of vocabulary or, you know, so I'm going to sound, yeah, I'm going to sound totally different in that different key. So I think that's a big deal. And of course, for a lot of the semi-pros out there, they probably haven't learned songs in different keys. I know I don't do that nearly enough myself. So
Me
I
too.
think Yeah, so I think just that idea of doing that, and even if it's eight measures, right? Like it's, maybe it's too big a bite for somebody to do learn all 32 measures up a minor third. That could be a big thing. Do eight measures of it. And the time that it takes to do those eight measures is not wasted time. That's called practice, right? That's what this is. Are you stale anymore? No, you're scared to death because you don't know the tune up a minor third. Problem solved. Bored? No. Scared to death? Yes. Right?
Yeah, all right.
And jazz, let's not mix it up, is really about fear and tension. It's at least the way I like to teach. By the way, come work with me at Jazz Wire. I'll scare the crap out of you.
That's no, a ringing endorsement right there, Jeff.
No, see, I'm Canadian. Like I'm probably the meanest Canadian out there. But I did marry a Texan, and I feel like maybe I married the nicest Texan, but she's still crabby as hell. Don't tell her that. No, there's no way she'd hear that, like, on the internet. I don't think she knows, you know, how to get here. So, yeah, whatever. So I love that idea of different keys because it freshens us up. So for me, an approach that I like to take, sort of the analogy might be, you know, you're tired of your writing, you know, writing emails, you write the same sort of stuff. Write a haiku. Limitations, right? To me, limitations are what breeds creativity. And I do say this all the time in Jazz Wire. So when we're allowed to do our usual stuff, we'll probably do it. But when you're not allowed to do what you usually do, and you're given a number, you know, a small number of possibilities, all of a sudden you have to get creative, right? So let's say, if I'm going to play Blue Bossa and I've got the stuff that I play in C minor that I'm sort of sick to death of, that doesn't mean it's bad, but I do want some new stuff. So what about if my limitation is I'm only allowed to play three eighth notes at a time? Well, all of a sudden I can't play. So I just played a couple, you know, last one was a Kenny Dorham lick that I remember learning from somewhere. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff is allowed. I can't play my go-to moves because I'm only allowed to play three eighth notes. So all of a sudden, I've got to get creative, right? I can't really rely on my vocabulary, or what I tend to do is break my vocabulary up. What can I do with my vocabulary that's only three eighth notes, right? So if I'm playing Blue Bossa, I would have played any of that without that limitation, right? Yeah. So little groupings of three eighth notes. So I was not bored. I was terrified. I was having to be so conscious. But the other thing is I feel like with limitations, when we play shorter ideas, it opens up the possibility of being motivic as well. So there's some extra little bang for the buck because those little groupings of three notes, for instance, when I play three notes, three notes, three notes, it sounds like I have a plan. My only plan, frankly, is not to drown right now, right? But that little rhythmic thing. So I think my approach, limitations would be one way to put it, or think rhythmically. So when I think of limitations, lots of times I go to a short number of notes or a rhythm. And what those do is get us out of our regular vocabulary. So... Totally. Yeah, so to me, I think that's an interesting way to go as well.
I like that, Jeff, because it's a real-time way to inject newness into your playing, right? And the other thing that's really cool about that, and see, this is what I love about doing these with you, is that I'm going to steal that now, and I'm going to try to be really intentional. If I find myself in the middle of a couple of choruses, and I'm like, man, here you go again, James. You sound sad. You're playing the same old tired stuff. Yeah, that kind of a limitation, almost putting yourself on kind of a leash. You know, if you can stick that out for a couple of choruses, then when you let yourself go and decide you're just going to go ahead and let yourself off the leash, to me, when I was hearing you play that, I was really engaged. I'm thinking, if I'm listening to you do that on the bandstand, the cats in the band are going to notice that too, and they're going to come along with you, right? So that you're going to be able to release that fear and that tension a lot more poignantly, I think.
So yeah, well, it's a great point, is that the people around you, the band that's playing with you, when you play quote-unquote rhythmically, or when you have a little cell that you're working with, a three-note cell, man, does that open up things for the people comping. Or the drummer is going to totally dig that, because now there's something, you're speaking his or her language, right?
Yeah, totally.
So that's pretty hip. And, you know, joking about, you know, Jazz Wire and everything else, I do want folks out there to try the free trial. This is the place to go. In 15 seconds, you'll be inside Jazzwire. You can look around for a week and see what we do. And I do try not to terrify people inside Jazzwire. I don't think it's ever, I haven't made anyone cry yet. So I feel, that's been 3 years. I feel like that's pretty good.
That's good.
And the hip thing about Jazzwire is it's not like a video lesson that's the same lesson for all people out there. Now, this lesson is kind of that, right? That's the best we can do on YouTube. Hey, here's something I know. Check this out. If you dig it, go work on that. The thing in Jazzwire is I get to hear you play, right? And so my advice may be for you, hey, transpose this song into a different key, like what James said. Or it may be, let's inject some rhythm. It may be something else, right? So that's what good teaching and learning is. There has to be that back and forth. Sitting and watching YouTube videos is cool. It's a good way to get input, but how do you know it's the right input for you today? So many of us are chasing rabbits around the internet, you know, getting inspired by a video, but are you actually better than you were 3 months ago? Lots of times the answer is no. So Jazzwire is a good solution to that. So yeah. James, I think, man, let's leave it there. Those are some great ideas. I'm inspired now to learn some of this music in other keys, because I know how different that is. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to my next gig, Jeff, where I can actually like put that into practice in the middle of a tune that I've played thousands of times. So I definitely got something out of this, man. So check's in the mail.
Fantastic. I'll take it. All right, everybody. Take care.
Keep swinging.